Bezras Hashem Yisparech, today's daf is Lamed Aleph in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. I'm learning with you from the old city, from Yeshivat Netiv Aryeh. My Talmidim know that there's a special room known as the Nazir's room, which has the furniture of, yes, a Nazir, Rabbi David Cohen, who was one of the close Talmidim of Rabbi Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Cook. His furniture, there's a lot of stories that are very special about the Nazir, which we won't get in. At the end of the day, this is Daf Yomi, not story time. But Rabbi David Cohen's bookcases and table and so on were brought to the Ha'idra building, which in the last 10 years became the home for Netiv Aryeh. And it's a very special room with a bookcase from Rabbi David Cohen, whose glass front, something like a bureau that holds Svarim, with glass doors. One of the glasses has been splintered, and according to a sign on that bookcase, that splintering took place in 1948 from sniper fire. Of David Cohen lived in the old city before the old city fell. And Baruch Hashem, now overlooking the Kaisel HaMaravi, we continue the tradition of Talmud Torah and Amilus B'Torah that he represented in a very, very unique way. I mention this also to explain that there is going to be some noise in the background. And the noise in the background is the sound of the building of Arzeinu HaKadosha, particularly even here around the Kotel Plaza. There is a tremendous amount of digging and construction that's going on right now, the summer of Tafshin Ayin Dalid. One of the reasons for that is that the rabbi of the Kotel HaMaravi, Rav Rabinovich, is having a building built for the, I guess, the chief rabbi's office of the Mekomos HaKadoshim, which is right next to the yeshiva, as well as constantly there are digs. Just a few days ago, someone took me through some of the fantastic digs that are taking place here underground. Ashreinu shezachinu lekach, and Be'ezer Hashem, looking forward to one day even going closer to the Mekom of Ashras Hashchina, B'bias Goel Tzedek. Let's Be'ezer Hashem begin the top of Daf Lamed Aleph. Our daf is going to discuss the halachos of the Shir Shel Yom, and it's going to describe to us the Shir Shel Yom that we say every day, which of course originated right here by the Shir Shel Yom of the Levim in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara will then transform that to the Tefillah in every Beis HaKnesses in the world. In the spirit that we've been speaking about, the Gemara will discuss the Hashras HaShechina and the Makom HaMikdash, as well as the Golus, the painful Golus of the Shechina as well. And that will take us through the bottom of Lamed Aleph, that will discuss the Golus of Sanhedrin, as eventually they ran away from here, to the point that we need to transmit Kimitzion Teitzei Sarah, we need to transmit Torah to the place of where the Indians were, to the great United States of America. That will bring us to the Mishnah on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, where the Mishnah will continue with other takanos of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. In the previous Mishnayos, we had mentioned the takan Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in regards to lulav, takan Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in regards to the carbon haomer, which of course is again, once again, connected to the motif of Geula as well as Golus, and how Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai assured that you would continue learning Torah in the farthest flung places in the world, that you would feel connected to Arzeinu HaKadosh and to Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. And our daf will discuss the halachas of the Kohanim and their duchening, how a Kohen is allowed to duchen and how a Kohen is not allowed to duchen. We're also going to discuss some of the halachos of Kerem Revai, and the daf will continuing with the takanos of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So let's pick up on the first line in Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Akiva, Barishin Mahayu Omer. What was the Shir Shel Yom of the first day? And you will see, as our Gemara delineates, that the Shir Shel Yom that's described over here is very similar to the Shir Shel Yom that we are familiar with. The pasuk says, Lashem Ha'aretzum Lo, Hashem Shekona Vihikne Vishalut Bo'olama. We say that the first of the Shir Shel Yom for Sunday, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills the world to emphasize that he owns and dominates the world. The world is God's. Rashi explains that the expression Kone v'hikne means the following. Shekone means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns both the heaven and the earth, which he created on the first day, as well as he gave over the world's population, he gave over to the world's population the beauties of this world, that was Vehikne, he gave it over to man. But at the same time, he gave it over for him to enjoy this world, but ultimately he rules over the world. V'sheinu ma'al yomrim, what did they say on Monday? Godol Hashem u'muhul ma'od, that Hashem is great and praiseworthy. Al shem shechilkeik ma'asav u'malach aleim, because he divided, Rashi explains, it means the psukim tell us that on Monday, the second day, Yom Sheni, HaKadosh Baruch Hu divided between the Rakia HaElyon and the Tachton, and we have the process of Tzimtzum as well, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu withdrew and pulled up to the upper words. Rashi also adds that he withdrew to holy places on this world, again, connected to our introduction. Dugma shchano b'iro v'har kodesho. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu choosing the place to reside his Kedusha, and that is over here in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, and over here right by the Har Habayis. On the Har Habayis. Bashlisha Yomrim, on Tuesday we make reference to another set of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation, Elkim Nitzah Ba'adaskel, Alshim Shegila Oretz B'chachmasa, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed the earth with his wisdom. The simple reading points out Rashi is the pasuk itself that v'seiroa hayabasha v'heichines hatevel la'adaso, and he prepared the land for his flock. Now again, according to many mefarshim, we once again have a reference to Yerushalayim HaKodesh, that what part of the earth did he prepare for his flock, that this is referring to Yerushalayim. Excuse me, Eretz Yisrael. Referring to Eretz Yisrael. As Rashi describes in Dibur HaMaskel, Shegila Oretz, Mokom Matzav Adosai. Bervi Yoyomir, on Wednesday, on the fourth day, El Nekamos Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is vengeful, Al Shem Shebara Chama Ulevana. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created on Yom Revi'i, Wednesday, the moon and the sun, V'asid Lipora Me'ovdeyen. And the nekama, that God is being vengeful, is a reference to the fact that he'll pay back, he'll give retribution for those who serve those entities, the star, and specifically over here, the stars, specifically here, the moon and the suns, and the sun. Bechamisha yomrim, on Thursday, on the fifth day, they would sing in the Beis Hamikdash, Ninu le'lokim uzeinu, let us sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu his praise and his strength. Al Shem Shebara Oifos Vidogim L'Shabeach L'Shmo. Because he created the birds and the fish so that we praise his name. Rashi explains that the moment someone sees the uniqueness of the birds, automatically they're full of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe we could add specifically, the Gemara chooses to make reference to the birds and the fish, even though the pasuk also makes reference to shratzim as well, because there is a tremendous wonder if one thinks about it, the power of a bird to soar and a fish to reach the lowest points of the universe, despite the fact that there is no oxygen for miles within the water, natural forms of oxygen that we're familiar with breathing. Nevertheless, these are fascinating, fascinating creations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the power of the bird to soar, and the power of fish to live in a world by itself. Hence, specifically those things, as opposed to the shratzim, they're not as likely to provoke, if we spend some time thinking about the fish and the birds, Harninu Lelokim Uzeinu. So that's on the fifth day. B'shishia Yomrim Hashem Moloch Geus Lavesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules and dresses in honor, Al Shem Shegomer Malchusa Malach Alehin. That's making reference to the completion of all of the creations. The Sefer Iye Hayom adds that Im Ein Am Ein Melech, a king requires a nation, and the completion of the world creates HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kingdom, which he could rule over, hence the emphasis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus on the sixth day. Bashviya Yom Mizmer Shir Yom HaShabbos, L'Yom Shekulo Shabbos, that the song to the day of Shabbos is that the whole day is a day of Shabbos. Rashi learns that there are many ways to explain L'Yom Shekulo Shabbos. Rashi learns that ultimately the world is going to be destroyed. There isn't going to be any more of man's machinations. So for Rashi, that is the explanation of L'Yom Shekulo Shabbos. Some people might find that a little bit intimidating. But based on Ma'amorei Chazal, Rashi learns that that's the reference, L'Yom Shekulo Shabbos, making reference to one day that all man's malacha and all his machinations will cease. Amar Ibn Nechemya, Ma ro chachamim l'chalik bein ha'prokim halalu? What's the pshat, says Reb Nechemya, that the chachamim learned the Tehillim this way? Because they are being mechalik bein prokim halalu. What does that mean? Rashi explains that the first 6 days are all talking about the past. And the seventh day, according to this pshat, is that one day the world is going to be an entirely rested state. In Rashi's words, "Ve'ein kol adam v'chol ha'malachos shovsos," so then the emphasis of the pasuk is going backwards, of the prakim, are going backwards for the first 6 days and looking forwards on the seventh day. Ma'aro chacham lechalik bein prakim alalu. Ella berishon, as we explained, shekan v'hikne v'shalot ba'olamo. B'sheini shechilik ma'isev u'malach aleim, as we explained already. B'shlishi shegila aretz b'chachmas v'echen teva la'adasa. B'rvii shebarach ha'chama u'levan v'asili parmevdeim. B'chamishi shebarach ofos v'dagim l'sh'abeach l'shmo. We're not translating because we translate all these things before. B'shishi shegomar melachto u'malach aleim b'shvii. Now we're going to translate. On the seventh day, al shem sheshavas, that the reference over here, Mizmer Shir Liyom HaShabbos, is the way that we more commonly understood it, not the way that was mentioned before from Rabbi Akiva, that the world is ultimately going to be no longer in existence and everything will come to rest, but it's going back in the past like all the other psukim, and that is that Kodesh Baruch Hu rested. What's the crux of this disagreement of how to explain Mizmer Shir Liyom HaShabbos? Mifligi midu Rav Ketina. Dam Rav Ketina. Rav Ketina said this phenomenon that the Rashi was making reference to. Shas al fishni have alma. The world is going to be for 6,000 years. The chad, here chad means afterwards, charaf, then it will be destroyed. That's what Rabbi Akiva was making reference to. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'niskav Hashem levadoi b'yoyimahu, that Kodesh Baruch Hu one day is going to be alone. Abayomar. Before we continue with Abaye, I translate something a little bit off. V'chad charov means that it will be destroyed for 1,000 years. Afterwards, it will be destroyed, v'chad, for 1 millennia. For 1 millennia of 2,000 years. Abaye Omar, Abaye says, trei charov. That's going to be destroyed for 2,000 years. Shenemar, as the pasuk in Hosea says, Yichayenu miyomayim b'yoyim hashishi yikimenu v'nechye lefanav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will just have the world destroyed for 2,000 years. This is the opinion of Rav Ketina that it's for 1,000 years. Abaye says that it's going to be for 2,000 years. Rashi explains that Rav Nechemya follows the position of Abaye, and therefore it does not work that one day, Shabbos, would correspond to the time of the rest of the world, because each one of the days refers to one group of 1,000 years, 1 millennia. With first days corresponding to the first 1,000 years of the world, second day to the next 1,000 years of the world. If that's so, so then the drasha of saying that Mizmer Shir Liyom HaShabbos is referring to the future of rest, it only makes sense if you learn that the time of rest is going to be 1,000 years. But if it's 2,000 years, it doesn't add up. Hence, Reb Nechemya says it's going into the past. According to Rashi's approach, then that would mean that everybody would agree that after 6,000 years, there will be some type of shvisa. In Rashi's dramatic words, then the Asid Olam Lios Charav. The Yalkut Biurim points out brilliantly that the Gra, in his Chidushim over here, learns Pshat a little bit differently than Rashi, in terms of how to describe Kamifilgi Bidur of Ketina. Whether the heavy words of Rashi, where Rashi HaKadosh says, Sha'aser olam lios charav means pshuto kimashmoi. That seems to be a machlokis between the Ravid in his Hasagas and Hilchos Tshuva, that seems to understand it exactly that way, versus, not surprisingly, the Rambam in the Maruch Nevuchim in Chelek Beis Perek Chavtes, as well as Rabbeinu Bechaya, that do not understand that the entire world will be destroyed. The Rambam asks a fascinating rational question, where the Rambam asks, if the world is destroyed, then the notion of time also comes to an end. A fascinating issue, both in terms of the notion of time from Einstein's perspective, as well as what fascinates the popular world going back to the future, in terms of time travel. The Rambam asks, at the end of the day, then time would not exist either. So this is a discussion within the great Mefarshim, exactly how to understand our Gemara. But it seems, according to almost everyone, that the notion, based on the psukim of V'nisgav Hashem levado yichayenu miyomayim, seem to indicate that there is some type of shvisa that's going to take place. B'musvei de Shabbos ma'o yomrim, the Gemara continues. During the Musav of Shabbos, the Levim normally sang their Shir Shel Yom, of course, as the Mishnah mentions on Lamed Amid Beis, during the Karban Tamid, but they would also sing during the Musav. So what would they say in the Musav of Shabbos? Amar Avonim Barava Amar Rav. Haziv Lach. This is an expression that makes reference to Parshas Hazinu that divides the six prakim of the Shir of Musav into these six different parts. Rashi spells them out what they are. That the first one is going to be the words Hazinu Hashemayim. Second one being Zchar Yimos Olam. The third one Yarkivu Abamasei Aretz. The fourth Vayar Hashem Vayinatz. Those are six psukim that are part of the first perek. Then every eight psukim become a perek by itself, Rashi explains. So this is the reference of Haziv Lach. The above explanation might not have been accurate, so let me repeat it again. Haziv Lach, that the hey referring to Hazinu is the first six psukim, Zechar being from Pasuk Zayin to Yubez in Parashas Hazinu, Yarkiveu, the Yud, and so on, being the next six psukim, and the last two prakim being eight psukim and not six psukim. V'amarav chon barav amarav, kiderech shechalukim kan, kachalukim bebeis haknesses. The same way they used to divide it in the Pirkei Shira, that's how you should divide the aliyahs as well, which is one of the reasons that Parshas Hazinu is such a small parsha. B'minchasa d'shabasam ayyomim, when they brought the Tamid Shel Baron Harbayim on Shabbos, what did they sing? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, they sang Az Yashir u'micha moicha v'az Yashir. They sang the Shira Shel Yam until Micha Mocha. Then they sang Micha Mocha, and then they went back to the Az Yashir in this past week's Parsha. Excuse me, I'm not sure why I said this past week's Parsha. In Parsha Schukas, the Parsha of the Be'er Miriam, probably because week's parasha we have Miriam as well, but here it's talking about the Be'er Miriam, which is in Bamidbar Chaf Aleph in Parsha Schukas. So these were the three things that were sung Shabbos Mincha. Iboiluhu, the Gemara asks the following kasha: Hani kulu bechad Shabbos amilu adil makol Shabbos v'Shabbos. When it came to the Musaf of Shabbos and the Mincha, did they sing the entire Shira that was described above? In other words, all of Parshas Hazinu, all of Az Yashir and Mincha, all of Micha Mocha, and then Ali Be'ir, the other Az Yashir of Parshas Chukas. O Dilma Kal Shabbos of a Shabbos Amrichad. Or in every Shabbos did they say one Perek, and eventually, after, when it comes to Parshas Hazinu, after 6 weeks, they would finish and they would start again. Tashma, come in here, the Gemara says, the Sanya, we learned in a Braisa, Amr Rabbi Yosi Atcher Rishon Omeres, the time that they would take to finish the first one from Musif, Acher Rishon Omeres Achas, the time it took to complete all of Hazinu, Shnia Chozer Eshtayim, the second one, in other words, what's said in Mincha, which is three parts, Az Yashir Micha Mocha, and the other Az Yashir, they were finished twice. Shma Mina, we see from here, Kol Shapsa V'Shapsa Amrichad, Shma Mina. They would only say one perek from Hazinu, they would say the six psukim, the next week another says six psukim. Hence, they would finish Hazinu after 6 weeks, and they would finish the Mincha, the Az Yashirs, with the Micha Mocha, once every 3 weeks,
So when they had already finished Az Yashir twice, they would finish Hazinu once. Shmamina, that the Gemara says, is a good proof. The Gemara continues on the last narrow line number of Yudabar Idam Rabbi Yochanan, Eser Masos Nasa Shechina. There were 10 travels that the Shechina went through, slowly receding from Klal Yisrael, Rashi explains. Mikroi, and that we learn from Psukim, Ukinegdon, Golsa Sanhedrin. We also learn that the parallel, one amazing thing that the Gemara creates a parallel between the Golos of the Shechina to the Golos of Sanhedrin, Mi Gemara. And that comes from the tradition of the Gemara that the Sanhedrin went into Golos, slowly receding from Klal Yisrael in 10 different places. We learn from the Pasuk that the Shechina moved around 10 times. That we know, Mikapores Likruv, that the Shechina went receded from being by the Kapores. As we learn in the end of Parshas Naso, that the Shechina was on top of the Kapores, it receded to the Kruvim. Umikruv Likruv. Some take out the Mikruv Likruv, because this refers to one Masa, Mikapores Likruv. Umikruv Limiftan, and then it left the Kruv to the threshold of the Beis Hamikdash, in other words, slowly pulling away from the Kodshei Kadoshim. Umiftan L'chatzer, this is very painful, just visualizing the Shechina slowly pulling away from Klal Yisrael. And from the threshold to the courtyard.
The Gemara continues on the first wide line, Alamed Aleph, Amid Aleph, describing the painful experience of the Shechina slowly receding from the Beis Hamikdash, Umichatzer L'mizbeach, and then it went from the Chatzer to the Mizbeach, Umimizbeach L'gag, and it went from the Mizbeach to the roof, Umegag L'choma, and from the roof to the wall, Umechoma L'ir, and from the wall to Yerushalayim itself. In other words, it receded from the entire area of the Har HaBayis, Umeir L'har, and then it went from Yerushalayim to Har HaZeisim, Rashi explains. Now, normally, people think of Har HaZeisim as being very close to the old city, very close to the Kotel. If you look out from the western side, look out from the old city, from the Rova, you see both Har HaZeisim and the Har HaBayis. However, Har HaZeisim is already considered outside of Halachic Yerushalayim. Halachic Yerushalayim is quite a bit smaller than the Jerusalem municipality today, a lot smaller. It goes from the area around the Arab Shuk, continuing through the Jewish quarter and going down to the Silwan area, which was an area that was occupied by Malchus Beis David. All of that is all part of Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, the Halachic Yerushalayim. But you continue further west, past the Jewish quarter, so then in such a case, then you're already out of most of the Din Yerushalayim. Similarly, Har HaZeisim, which is on the eastern side, so that area of Har HaZeisim was already outside the boundary of Yerushalayim. So that's what the Gemara means, Umeir Lahar, Umehar Lamidbar, and then the Shechina left Har HaZeisim, and then it went to the desert. Although the Mefarshim don't spell it out, presumably what the Gemara is referring to is the desert area of Eretz Yisrael. If you continue on past Har HaZeisim, eventually you'll get to the area of Yericho, which of course is a desert area. Umimidbar, and then when the Shechina had already receded to the Midbar, also v'yoshva b'mekomo, then it entirely went back to its place. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Yecheskel, that Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he recedes during the Churban, Eilech Yeshuva El Makomi, I will go back to my original place, the original place of Tzimtzum above the Rekia. Mikaparis Likruv, we learned that it had receded from the actual area right above the Aron to the Kruv. Mikruv Likruv, Mikruv Lemiftan, Dichsiv, as the Pasuk says, Noati Lechasham Vidibarti Yitcha Me'alak Paris. Uksiv, and the Pasuk says, this pasuk is in Shmuel Perek Beis, Vayirkav al Kruv, Vayof Vayera al Kanfei Haruach. Uksiv, and the pasuk also says, Uchvod al Kei Yisrael Na'alam Me al Kruv Asher Haya Olav. So this is describing the Shechina leaving from the area of the Kruvim. This pasuk is found in Yecheskel in Perek Tes, again describing the Churban. El Niftan Abayis, and it went to the threshold of the Bayis, as we described above in the Gemara. Umi Miftan Lechatzer, and went from the threshold to the courtyard. Dechsiv Ayimale Habayis Es Ha'anon V'achatzer Maleya Es Noga Kvod Hashem. So it describes in Yecheskel as well the Kvod Hashem going from the Miftan, from the threshold, to the Chatzer. Michatzel Mizbeach, where is it said this in the Pasuk? Tichsiv, as the Pasuk describes, Ra'isi, Eis Hashem, Nitzav El Mizbeach, Vayoymer, Hach, Hakaftor, V'yir, Ashu, Asipim, Uvitzas, B'roish, Kulam. The Pasuk in Amos, in Perek Tes, describes seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu going from the Chatzer to the Mizbeach, Ra'isi Eis Hashem, Nitzav El Mizbeach, Umizbeach legag, and the Shechina went from the Mizbeach to the roof. Tichsiv, the Pasuk in Mishle describes, Toiv Losheves Alpinas Gag, Me'eshes Bidyonim Uveis Chaver. Rashi explains that Shlomo HaMelech is describing that it's better to sit on the Gag, on the roof, than to sit with Klal Yisrael. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the literal meaning of the Pasuk is it's better to sit on a corner of a wall, of a roof, than sitting with a foreign woman. However, here the foreign woman is actually Klal Yisrael itself, because Klal Yisrael had made itself foreign to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then the Shechina went migag lechoma, from the roof to the wall. Dechsiv, the Pasuk says, V'hine Hashem nitzav al chomas anoch uv'yodo anoch. So here Hashem is described as being found, and almost again is being this found specifically on the wall and nowhere closer to the higher Abayis. Mechoma li'ir, then it receded from the walls of the old city to the Har Abayis, the walls of the courtyard of the Har Abayis to the old city itself. Tichsiv, as the Pasuk in Micha describes, Kol Hashem li'ir yikra, v'sushiya yir shemecha shimu mate umi ya'oda. So here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as specifically in the city. Umeir lahar, and then he goes from Yerushalayim to the mountain, that we said is Harazesim Dechsiv, as the Pasuk says, Vayal Kvod Hashem, this is in Mishle Perik Chafalif, Vayal Kvod Hashem Me'al Toch Ha'ir, Vayal Moid Alohar Hashem Mekedem Le'ir. So it describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu going from inside the city to Harazesim, receding to Harazesim. Umehar the midbar, and then it went from the mountain to the desert. Dechsiv, as the pasuk describes, Tov Sheves Ba'aretz Midbar, that it's better to live in the midbar. The pasuk in Mishlei describes Me'eshes Midyanim V'Chas, better to live alone in a desert than a difficult woman. Klal Yisrael had become a difficult woman according to the drash of Chazal, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu receded to the desert. Umimidbar also Yashva Mikama, Dichsiv, as the Pasuk that we mentioned before, says, Eilech Shuva El Mikomi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to recede to my original place. The Gemara continues 3 lines from the bottom, Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shisha Chadashim, Nisak V'Shechina L'Yisrael B'Midbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited after he had receded all the way to the Midbar. He waited in the Midbar before he receded to his Makar, Shema Yachzru B'Tshuva, lest Klal Yisrael, hope against hope, that Klal Yisrael would do Tshuva. Kivan Shelo Chazru, but since they didn't, Amar Tipach Atzman, they should blow up, they should be filled with gas. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Iov, Ve'enei Rishoim Tichlena Umanas Avad Minhem Sikvasam Mapach Nofesh, that their hope should be like empty ear. In other words, they began to be filled with emptiness as opposed to with substance. Of course, ruach could be the ruach of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, or it could be an empty ruach. And once Klal Yisrael is gone, so then no longer are we filled up with the ruach of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but we're filled up with empty ruach. Kinegdan Golson Sanhedrin. And we mentioned above, about 15 lines above, that the corresponding galuyos of the Shechina corresponded to the galus of Sanhedrin, Mi Gemara, that we see from a tradition in the Gemara. Of course, a powerful Musar is that the Gemara here is drawing a parallel between the Koach of Sanhedrin, whose job is to bring out HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ruchnius in Torah, to the receding of the Shechina itself, that there is a parallel between the receding of the Shechina as well as the Sanhedrin pulling away from the Beis HaMikdash. We have a tradition. Melishas Hagazis. Originally, the Sanhedrin was found. I'm looking out now. I'm in the Beis Medrash of Netiv Aryeh. I'm looking out, and I could see from the front of the Beis Medrash the Kotel HaMaravi, the actual Kotel itself, with the left on the left side being the Harabayis. Past the Kotel, if you continue along going south in the Kotel, eventually the Kotel HaMaravi reaches a right-hand angle to the southern wall. Along the southern wall, there are steps. Those steps is where the Lishkas Hagazis was, and that's where the Beis Din HaGadol used to sit. So originally, that's where the Beis Din HaGadol was. B'Lishkas Hagazis L'chanus. But when Klal Yisrael had to begin the process of Galus, so then they had to leave the Lishkas Hagazis, and they went to an area that's called Chanus. Rashi explains that there were storefronts that were there on the Har HaBayis. Already at that point, Rashi points out that they no longer were no longer judged Dine Nefashos, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that there were too many homicides that were taking place in Klal Yisrael at the time, and for that reason they had to stop being Dan Dine Nefashos. And the way in which they showed that they were no longer judging Dine Nefashos is they removed themselves from the Lishkas Hagazis and they went to an area which was called the store area, the bazaar area, near the Har HaBayis. Umechanus Yerushalayim. Ultimately, they left even that area of the Har HaBayis where they had the bazaar area. Presumably, this area, bazaar area, was set up by the Chachamim themselves, because there generally were not stores on the Har HaBayis, and ultimately they had to leave that area of the Har HaBayis as well. Michanus Yerushalayim, Mishalayim LiYavne, and then they went to Yavne, which of course was the subject of why our daf brought up this discussion, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ultimately ended up saving Klal Yisrael by bringing them to Yavne. UmiYavne LeUsha, ultimately the Sanhedrin went to Usha, as described in the Gemara in Ksubis on Daf Samach, that there were many takanas that were made in Usha. Umei Usha liYavne. Now, once again, after they had to run away from Usha, they went back to Yavne. Umei Yavne liUsha, and then they returned to Usha, where they went back and forth. Umei Usha liShafram, and from Usha they went to Shafram. Umei Shafram liBeis Sha'arim, and then from Shafram they went to Beis Sha'arim, Beis Sha'arim leTzipori, and from Beis Sha'arim they went to Tzipori, umiTzipori leTveria, from Tzipori they went to Tveria, veTveria amuka mikulan. Literally, Tveria was deeper than all of them. It was, in Rashi's language, shfalim hayu. Shafal means to be low. Shenemar, as the pasuk in Yeshayo describes, shafalta me'eretz tidaberi umeofer tishach imrosech. Now, Tveria is not known for being one of the lowest parts of Eretz Yisrael. This leads Mefarshim to learn that what it means over here is Shafel means low in a spiritual sense, that people did not give the Sanhedrin the appropriate kavod. Rashi says that this was during the time of Antoninus, which is, of course, Antoninus was a contemporary of Reb Yehuda HaNasi. This is already the time of the Chibur of the Mishnayis, and already at that time, it's not a coincidence, probably, that, of course, Rebbe defied the rule. Eis lasos Hashem heferu torasecha. He wrote down the Torah Sheba'al Peh that wasn't supposed to be, quote-unquote, supposed to be written. It wasn't originally made to be written down. It's during this period that the Pasuk Yishayo refers to as a period of Shafel. And this was the last of the Golios of the Sanhedrin, which, of course, corresponds to the Golos of the Shechina. Rebbe Lazar Omer Sheish Golos. Rabbi Lazar says that the Sanhedrin went into six galuyos. Shenemar, as the pasuk in Yeshayo says, ki heishach yoshev veimaram kir yeniskeva yashpilena yashpila ad oretz yagienu ad ofer. There are six lashonos of shiflus over here, which according to Rabbi Lazar refer to the six galuyos of Sanhedrin. The Paras Yosef points out that the Pashtus, a simple reading of the Gemara, is that Rabbi Lazar is disagreeing with the opinion above that Sanhedrin went into Galus 10 times. Rather, Rabbi Lazar seems to be saying 6 times. But the Paras Yosef points out that if you calculate the Usha Yavne going back and forth, it will come out the six times that's made reference to in this pasuk. In other words, Usha liYavne, Yavne liUsha only gets counted as one. He also calculates other places that would not be counted. For example, the three places that Rebbe was at is only counted as one, and the area from Yerushalayim to Chanus is not counted as two separate galuyos since it was within the same city. And from this galus, from Tveria, is where the geula is going to begin. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, is snari me'ofer kumi. Now you understand the significance of this pasuk, the lechadodi, which comes from this pasuk in Yeshayahu, Hisnari me'ofer kumi shvi. It's particularly connected to the area of the Galil, the area of Tzfas and Tveria. In our Gemara, it speaks about Tveria. And when we sing it on Friday night, we're referring to the Geula that will come from that area not far where Reb Shlomo Alkibutz wrote the Lechadodu. Let's pray, Zer Hashem, continue the next Mishnah. About 9 lines on the top of Lamed Aleph, from the Beis, Omer Bishua Ben Karcha, V'oid Zoysis, Kim Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, Shifilu Rosh, Beis Dim B'chol Mokom, Shelo Yehu Ha'edim Holchin, Elo L'Mokom Havad. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai was also misaking that there is a particular place that Beis Dim would be Mekadesh V'chodesh, and that's where people should come, even if the Rosh Beis Din is not located there. They do not have to worry about chasing down the Rosh Beis Din, but rather all they have to do is come to the Beis Vad, and then their testimony will be arranged. The Gemara describes that he is a sadas munu ledino kameda meimar binar doi. There was a woman that was called to a din Torah in front of Ameimar Nar Doi. Also, Ameimar le Mechuza. Ameimar went to Mechuza. But the woman didn't want to go there to Mechuza, where Ameimar was, where also the Malve, who had lent the woman the money, also was. Kasa Ameimar wrote, Psicha Ilava. He wrote a nidui that she refused to come to court. She refused to come to court, and that caused the person to put in cherem. This Gemara is an important Gemara in terms of the halachos of the requirement of showing up to court and what Beis Din does when a person does not. But didn't we learn, I feel Rosh Beis Din b'chol makom shel yu'eidim holchem el makom avad, that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was misaking that the place to go is to the makom havad, and you are putting the woman in cheirim because she didn't come to where you are. But now we see you need to find a central place, a makom avad, and therefore not coming to Mechuzah is not enough of a reason to put her into cheirim. Amalei, so Ameimar responded to Ravashi, Hani milinin Eidus HaChodesh. Our Mishnah does not apply to other cases of Dinei Torah. It only applies to Eidus HaChodesh. Din Kain, Nimtzes Machshin Lasid Lavo. Because if we're not going to institute, as Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai had instituted, that Eidim are going to be discouraged from coming in the future. And since we don't want to discourage Eidim, so Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made this takana. However, when it comes to other cases, Aval Hacha, Eved Lovelish Malve, the Eved is a Love to the Malve, and therefore the Eved has to go to the Malve, and since the Malve was there in Mechuzah, so that's a reason that they have to go there as well. The Gemara continues, Ena Kohen, Mershal Nalos, Bisandale, in the Duchan, a Kohen is not allowed to go up in his shoes to the Duchan. And this is one of the 10 takanas that Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai instituted. As I said those words, Rav Yitzchak Korn, who is the Rosh Masifta here in Netiv Aryeh, walked in. No such thing as a coincidence. Okay, so halachi is that I'm again learning in the Nazir room, which I'm zocha to share with Rav Korn. So here the Gemara repeats another one of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's takanas, and that is that a kohen is not allowed to go in to do duchening wearing his shoes. And there were 9 takanas of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Shista hai pirka, 6 of this perik, v'chada de pirka kama, and one that we learned in the earlier perik. Rashi delineates what they are. Number 1, the one that we just learned in the Braisa, ein kohen mishon lalos b'sandalehin. And then the 5 of the Mishnah, being 2, being the tkiyah in front of Beis Din, three being lulav, taken all 7 days, four being that Yom Henef Kula Asr, that the 16th is as well going to be Asr to eat Chadash, five being that there would be Mesakein, that you could accept the Edom the entire day, and six, that the Edom have to go to the Makom Havat. The Chada de Pirka Kama, and we also learn on Chaf Aleph on the Beis, that they would only be Mechalel for Nisan and Tishrei alone. Only be Mechal Shabbos Dafka for Nisan and Tishrei Bizman Hazeh. Vidach, what are the other Takanas of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? So now we've delineated Sach HaKol in total seven. What are the others? The Sanya, we learned the Brisa Gershon is Gar Bizman Hazeh. If someone converted today, Tzarech Sheyifrosh Rova Lekino, then he needs to separate a quarter of a shekel, that is a half a dinar, for the birds that are supposed to be brought for his gerus. The source of this is the Gemara in Krisus on the Aftesam and Aleph. The Gemara is Doresh there in Krisus, that the way we were taken into the covenant is in Yana Diyoma, because we're still in the, within 7 days of Shavuos. The way we were taken in the covenant of Bavit Har Sinai was with Bris Mila, with Tevila, and with a Karbon. See the Gemara over there. So too, the Ger, who's also converting, he also needs to bring a Karbon. And he brings a bird, an Olasa'of, as his Karbon. And that price of it is a shekel, which ultimately he gives to the Pushka. And then the Kohanim would bring on his behalf. That's described in Masechet Shkolim. We learned this together in Masechet Shkolim. Harb Shimon Lazar Kvar Nimna Alein Rabbi Yochan Ubitzlo Mipnei HaTakal. That Rabbi Yochan Ben Zakkai was Mevatel this. This also appears there in Shkolim, this custom. And the reason for that is because we're afraid that the Ger is going to derive benefit from the money. It'll end up to be Moel Bikotchim. So that was Rabbi Yochan Ben Zakkai who said that you shouldn't designate the money. So that's the eighth takana, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Ve'idach, and the ninth, plugs at the Rav Papa, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Rav Papa amar kerem revai, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak amar loshen shel zahoris. Rav Papa says it related to kerem revai, and that is the fourth year of your grapes growing. The first 3 years it's arlo, the fourth you have to redeem. And Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says that it refers to the special string that was hung on Yom HaKippurim, that we're going to elaborate on both of them, that there was a discussion where Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was mistak, what he instituted. Rav Papa, Armer Kerem Revai, Rav Papa says, we're referring to Kerem Revai, Disnan, Kerem Revai, Hayo'on, Yushalayim, Malik, Yom Lekol Tzad, Vezuhi Tchuma. Even though the halacha is that you're allowed to redeem your fruits that you need to bring for Kerem Revai to come to Yerushalayim, nevertheless, the Rabbanan where goes, that Rashid explains in Dibra Maskel Haya, that any area within a day's worth of Yerushalayim, you should eat it there. You should not redeem it. It's a takana mid Rabbanan that you cannot change its value for money and then buy a burger in the old city at Burger's Bar. Even though Min HaTorah, leaving the Burger's Bar out, even though Min HaTorah, that would be acceptable. Rashi says in the end of Dibra Maskel Haya, Kidei la'ater shuke Yerushalayim, that in order that the streets of Yerushalayim should be filled with beautiful fruits. So therefore, that was the takana of Kerem Revai. And Zui Tchuma, this is the boundaries that they instituted that are considered 1 day's worth of Yerushalayim. Eilat min hadarom, vakrabas min hatzafon, lud min hamarav, v'yardein min hamizrach. That's a day's worth. For example, think about it. The west of Yerushalayim, think about Highway 1 going to the airport. For those of you who have been zochet to be in Eretz Yisrael, it's quite a bit of distance. Lod, of course, is very close to Ben-Gurion Airport. So all of that distance outside Yerushalayim was considered a day's worth distance in Yerushalayim. If you lived in anywhere in that vicinity to the west, so then in such a case, you weren't allowed to redeem. You're supposed to bring the fruits up. Va'amar ula v'itema, Rabbi ula, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, matam, kedei la'aker ter shuke Yerushalayim beperos, as we learned before. V'tanya, and we learn a brisa of the Gemara continues on the last narrow line. Kerem revai hayelo the Rabbi Eliezer b'mizrach lud. Rabbi Eliezer had fruits on the eastern side of Lud, Bitzat Kfar Tavi, already on the side of Kfar Tavi, Ubikesh Rabbi Elazar Lafkir L'Aniyim, and Rabbi Eliezer wanted to make it Hefker for the Aniyim, that they should bring those fruits up. Amru Lo, Talmid of Rebbe, they questioned him, Rebbe, Kfar Nimnu Chavarech Alecha, your friends already counted, had decided, V'iti Ruha, and Rabbi Yochanan, as the Gemara is about to say, said that that takana was undone. In other words, that din derabanan, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai repealed, and therefore you don't have to be mafkirit lanim. Kfar nimnu chaverecha alecha v'tiru man chaverecha Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. That's making reference to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The market continues 3 lines into the wide. So that's one opinion that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai repealed the requirement for a person to bring the pair was up to Yerushalayim. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Loshen Shel Zahoris. No, it was another takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and that relates to the little bindle. Not the bindle that they some beggars and businessmen sell over here in the old city, which probably has no significance whatsoever, but rather a very, very important bindle. And that was the thread that was hung in the Beis Hamikdash itself on Yom Kippur. Disani Barishoni Yekoshen Lashon Shel Zahoris Al Pesach Ulam Mibuchutz. They used to tie a thread which was red outside of the Beis Hamikdash. Hilbin, if it became white, Hayismeichin. Lo Hilbin Hayuatzav. If it became white, then they were happy. If it did not become white, they were sad. Hiskinu the institution Yekoshen Al Sal Pesach Ulam Mibefnim. That should be on the inside. Therefore, people would not see that it turned white. Now, there is a big discussion. What was the reason that they didn't want it to be? Chacham did not want people to see white. The Yom Teruah says that they had a breakdown, that people used to get extremely afraid if they did not see it turn white. The Meiri says that this way people shouldn't coast or assume that their destiny for good or for bad has been determined, that they should keep on striving, keep on thriving, and if they see it either red or white, then either way they'll become too complacent, or chassid will say that everything is doomed, which is not true. V'adayin on mitzitzin v'roin, but they crane their necks to look inside. They still want to know. Hilbin ha'yismech v'lo hilbin ha'yu'atzuvim. They were happy when it turned white, and they were sad when it turned red, and according to Meiri and Yom Teruah, that has a problem, as the reasons that they mentioned above. So they instituted that it be tied to the Seir HaMishtaleach, and then ultimately tied to the rock in which he was thrown off. The Gemara continues, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, my time lo omer ka Rav Papa. Why did Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak not learn like Rav Papa? Amar lecha, he'll tell you, Isak kadait Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Chaver de Rabbi Eliezer, mi have. The reason why Rav Nachman Yitzchak didn't give Rav Papa's pshat is because in the give and take between Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Elazar in regards to Kerem Revai, the students of Rabbi Elazar said, Kfar nimnu chavercha alav v'hitirua. Said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that you were outvoted. But how could that be? That Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is chaver of the Rabbi Elazar? How could he be considered the friend? Rabbo have it. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the Rebbe of Rabbi Eliezer. This is spelled out in the Gemara in Sukkah on Chaf Chesam et Aleph. So therefore, that pshat, that it was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Elazar, that does not make sense. The Idach, so how could it possibly be of Papa learned that pshat. Kima the Talmida of Havu, lower achoruchai lememra le lirabe rabcha. Since these were the students of Rabbi Eliezer, it's not appropriate for them to say to their Rebbe, in other words, it's not appropriate for Rabbi Eliezer's students to say to Rabbi Eliezer, your Rebbe, they don't say your Rebbe, but rather they called him his friend. Rav Papa, my time, Alam al Kerem Nachmar Yitzchak. And why Rav Papa not learn like the Pshar Nachmar Yitzchak in terms of the Lashon Shel Zahoris? Amalach, Isak, Dr. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Are you going to say that this story of Lashon Shel Zahoris took place in the days of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai? Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Mi have it, Lashon Shel Zahoris. Bimei Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai was there a thread. Vatanya, but then we learn in Brayis, a Kol Shana, so Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, maybe as from Shana. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai lived 120 years. Mea Shana Sipramatya. He was a businessman 40 years. Mea Shana Lomat. He then learned for 40 years. Mem Shana Limate. And then he taught for 40 years. So Rabosai, those who are working and doing the Dafyomi, and those who are doing the Dafyomi all day, if they're working for their first 40 years, you could still become Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. And if you're just learning the Dafyomi for the next 40 years, you could still become Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. V'tanya, we learn the Rabbis, Mem Shana Koyim Shidishchar Rabbis, Lo Hoya Lo Loshim Shel Zoharis, Malbin Elamadim. That already the Gemara in Yuma describes the last 40 years before Korban Abayis, this miracle of the thread turning white no longer happened. It could very well be, according to some of Farshim, it even got darker because of the Averos for Klal Yisrael. But the whole issue was nil because it never turned into white. Utnan, and how old was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai during this period? Mishachar Habayis Hiskun Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. We know that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was at least an older man because he made takanas. And the time that he was making the takanas was within 40 years of the Churban. And by that time, there already wasn't a thread that was turning right. Hence, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai did not make institutions in regards to the thread turning white. The Idach, that's such a strong raya against Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. What's Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak going to say? He answers, Osamar Bom Shana Delimate, excuse me, Osamar Bom Shana Delama, the 40 years that he learned, Talmud Yosha Lefnei Rabba Havi. He was a Talmud who was sitting in front of his Rebbe, V'omar Milsa V'estaber Taimei V'kovei Rabbe B'shmei. That he did already introduce ideas, not as the Rav, because he was learning by his Rebbe, but if his Rebbe accepted it, then it was instituted. Hence, it could very well be that when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was between the age of 40 and 80, this takana was made, which was at the time that the red string was still turning white, which was an idea that he had suggested and said in his name, but was accepted by his Rabbein. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes Daf Lamed Aleph in Maseches Rosh Hashanah.